Sometimes we don't listen. You might not be able to see it very clearly, but he's driving along and there's a sign that says caution and he disregards it. And then there's a truck full of signs telling him to stop and he ignores the sign. And you know, God is always speaking to us. We've just got to look and listen to what he's saying. Amen? All right, all the New Hope kids can head out. Let's give him a big hand for the New Hope kids. God bless you guys. Thank you for those looking after the kids today. I encourage you to open your Bibles today. We're going to look at a passage today from 1 Thessalonians 5:11. If you want to get ready to take some screenshots of the quotes and the Bible verses on the screen, I encourage you to do that. Whenever you hear a sermon at New Hope, I encourage you to make notes, take notes of what you're hearing in the sermon and study it later. We're doing a series on imperfect disciples. Is there any imperfect disciples here today? I'm an imperfect disciple. I'm preaching to myself today. And a disciple is a learner, someone who is a lifelong learner, someone who is teachable, someone who is discipled by the leaders that God has placed over them, someone who has a teachable spirit. And today we're going to look at some scriptures and ask God to speak to us about what it means to be a good disciple in 2023. We've been doing this series. This is week 5 in this series now. If you missed the first few sermons, they're on our Facebook and on our podcast. I encourage you to check them out and make sure that we're training and equipping ourselves to be a disciple who makes disciples who makes disciples. And I threw out an encouragement a few weeks ago for people to find someone and do the discovery Bible method with them, which means you sit down with someone and you read through a passage of scripture. You ask them, what is God saying to you? What do you think? How can we apply this to our life? How will it be different by what we've read? And then who else can you go and read the Bible with? So it becomes a multiplying thing. And I know Karen, we've been talking, you know, about Karen. She's been doing it with some others here. Some of the people she's been doing the Discovery Bible method with have gotten saved and are now getting baptized today. Hallelujah. That's good fruit of the Discovery Bible method. I just want to ask a bold question. We've been getting our Connect groups to do the Discovery Bible method as well. So give me a show of hands. If you've ever done the Discovery Bible method with someone, just put your hand up. Fantastic. Good to see. Good to see a whole bunch of people in the church have done it. Once again, there's a website. You can search it up. There's an app you can download. We want to train everyone in this church to learn the Discovery Bible method. You can ask someone to do it with you. Many years ago at Avondale Hostel, which is one of the shelters that we visit, one of the shared homes we visit, I asked God, who can I do the Discovery Bible method with? And there was a young guy there who had been a drug addict. He'd just lost his partner to AIDS. He was broken. He was wounded. He was through all sorts of trouble. And I felt like God say, he's the man of peace. He's the one that I need to do the Discovery Bible method with. And so I asked him, do you want to sit down and read the Bible together? And he goes, okay. So I turned up that Wednesday. We made a coffee. We sat down and he invited 4 other people from the shelter to come and join in for the Discovery Bible method. So here I am with 5 people in the middle of Avondale Hostel reading the Bible together, going through the scriptures. And they're asking me all these questions and it didn't really go exactly to plan. It doesn't always go exactly to plan, but we were focusing on God's word together. And it gave me an opportunity to disciple those in that shelter. And then he became our best advocate. Whenever the bus would turn up, he was the one that would go, all right, everyone, you got to go to the King's Table Soup Kitchen on Friday. Everyone, get out of bed, get up, you know. So he'd get a whole bunch of people out and get them ready at the front when the bus would come because he became our person of peace in that shelter. And that's the thing that we're trying to train everyone with. There's about 40 shelters in total that we visit every week. Out of all those, we're looking for that one person who is our advocate, someone who likes us, someone who understands us, someone who is on our side, that will be the man of peace or the person of peace in that shelter, in that shared home. So we're asking you to pray and ask the Lord, who is the person that you can go to, whether it be in a shelter or maybe it's someone in your workplace, maybe it's someone in your street, maybe it's someone that you just bump into randomly. You will all have a unique person that God will highlight to you that you can go and do the Discovery Bible method with. And it might have to be the exact same way we all do it. It can be just a way to start a conversation about Jesus. Because I truly believe that if we get this, We will become a multiplying church, amen? Where it's not just up to Pastor Chris and Pastor Brett and Karen and just up to a few of us leaders to do it. It's where we're all empowered to do it, amen? This is what I feel is going to be a key to revival in our church. If everybody gets this, if everybody got their heart to go out and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, this is how we're going to win this city for Jesus, amen? Three people said amen. We want to build this culture of discipleship. We're called to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So I encourage you to be prayerful about that. Ask the Lord, who is the person that you can go and share the Word of God with? Now, we're continuing this series on being a disciple of Jesus, and I really believe that I just want to share a bit of my testimony first. You know, so many of you know, I was born again at the age of 15 at a youth camp. I was raised in a church where I knew about God, but I didn't know Him personally. And when I heard the gospel and I responded, I felt like my life was transformed. But a lot of people don't realize that I had a youth leader by the name of Rod Clements, and his father, Bruce Clements, Rod and Bruce, they were my mentors when I first came to Christ. And they were dealing with a very crazy young man. The age of 15, my voice hadn't broken yet. I was talking like this, you know. I had a lot of pimples, and I had a very low self-esteem at the time. I was like the guy off The Simpsons, you know. Anyway, and I was really skinny. I used to have to dance around in the shower to get wet. I was so skinny, and I was very shy, very nervous, and I just had this inferiority complex. You know, I was 15, I was going through, you know, just being a young kid in a school, and I just had no confidence. And when I came to Christ, it was like I just all of a sudden wanted to preach the gospel. And I just had this boldness to go and share my faith. And Rod Clements was my youth leader, and he just took me under his wing and discipled me. He taught me how to preach. He taught me how to lead a Bible study. He taught me how to run a youth group. And if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd be here today. But I only had Rod as my youth leader for 1 year during grade 11. He was in grade 12, and then he graduated, and then I became the youth leader in grade 12. 16 years old, 17 years old, all of a sudden, I was thrust into leadership. I became a youth leader running this youth group of about 60 kids. We had a Christian group at our school of about 100 kids. And all of a sudden, I had to be two steps of everyone else because I was their leader, you know. So I had to learn how to self-feed. Everyone say self-feed. Now, it's great to be taught the Word of God, but how many of you know you need to get into the Word of God and feed yourself? Like, if Gracie came to me at 5 o'clock tonight and said, "Dad, I'm really hungry. I didn't have breakfast. I didn't have lunch. I'm starving. Can you get me some food?" I'd probably say, "Honey, go get your own food. You're 15 years old. Feed yourself." You know what I mean? She doesn't have to wait for me to prepare her food. She knows what to do, doesn't she? She's a very good cook, just like her mum, actually, you know. She's mature enough to feed herself. When you're a baby, you need to be fed, don't you? When you're a brand new baby, someone's got to feed you. But when you grow up, you learn to feed yourself. And I want to train everyone in this church to be self-feeding of the Word of God. That's what happened when I was a youth leader. I had to learn to study the Word of God for myself so that I could preach it to others. I had to learn to get every day in the habit of doing daily devotions. Who does daily devotions? Every day. That's my habit. I get up early in the morning before the sun gets up, when everyone's asleep, and I get into the Word of God and I feed myself on God's Word so that I've got fresh bread coming into me and fresh bread coming out. Amen? How many of you know we need fresh bread? I don't want yesterday's bread. I don't want yesterday's revelation. I want today's revelation. So every day we've got to feed ourselves on God's Word so that we can train others. Then I was blessed after school to go to Bible college in Sydney at Phil Pringle's Church in Sydney. The best year of my life until I met my wife, Carol. Absolutely loved it. Hanging around 70 or 80, on fire, Pentecostals. Taught me how to pray in the Spirit, taught me about spiritual warfare, taught me how to worship, and taught me how to feed on the Word of God even more. And I remember at the start of the year, they said, "When you're at Bible college, you've got to have a single focus on Jesus. So no dating." They said, it's not bridal college, it's Bible college. But you see, I had a problem. I had this girl that I just started dating, right, at the start of Bible college. I'd been to a youth camp. We just started dating. She was a pastor's daughter from Melbourne, you know, good potential, you know. So I thought, oh, what am I going to do? I thought, I'll just keep it quiet. We'll just have a quiet, long-distance relationship, you know. We'll see what happens, you know. Anyway, so I just kept it quiet under the radar because, you know, when you're 18, you know everything, don't you? Right, anyway, so I just kept it on the down low, you know, and acted like I was on fire for God, and there was nothing to see here, you know. Anyway, Easter came, and at Easter there was a girl over the road who was a Christian, and her younger sister wasn't a Christian, and the older girl said to me, "We need to get my sister saved, and we want to invite her to church." So we invited her to church. We kind of ganged up on her, invited her to church. So we went to church, and then after church, we went to the beach and we went for a big walk on the beach. I'm sitting down on the beach and chatting away, just being myself, and she leaned over and kissed me on the lips. I didn't realize it was that kind of a walk on the beach. But, you know, she's only human, can you blame her, you know? Anyway, so after Easter holidays, I go back to Bible college where you're not allowed to date anyone. And I've got two girlfriends. So I felt convicted. The Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. And so I said to the principal of the Bible college, Simon McIntyre, a great man of God, I said, "Simon, I need to have a chat with you. I've got some issues." And he's like, "All right, come on, come to my office." So I sat down and I said, "Simon, you know that rule about not dating anyone at Bible college? Well, I've got two girlfriends and I don't know what to do." And he asked me this question. He said, "Matt, what would wisdom do?" And I said, "Probably break up with both of them." And he said, "Well, there's your answer." So I had to break both of their hearts. Oh, broke a few hearts just quietly over the years. But you know what? I wish I'd listened earlier to the advice of my leaders and I wouldn't have gone into the mess that I got myself into. I mean, I'm making a joke about breaking the hearts, but it's not a nice thing to, you know, it wasn't a nice situation for either of those girls, you know. May the Lord bless them, you know. But you know what? We've got to learn to listen to our leaders. We've got to learn to be discipled. The leaders that are discipling us actually want the best for us. They're actually giving us advice. They're discipling us. They're teaching us because they actually have good plans for us, good thoughts for us. God isn't some, you know, grumpy old God in heaven that's just trying to smite people with hemorrhoids when they do the wrong thing, you know. God's given us His laws and His principles because it's better if we follow His way, isn't it? Things turn out better when you put God first, amen? So let's have a look at this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, actually, why don't we stand for the Word of God? Good idea, guys. Why don't we stand for the Word of God? You'll see it on the screen. Let's read this together. Therefore. Oh. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, holding on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I was praying this morning, I felt the Lord highlight this verse to me today. A couple of things I wanted to unpack from here. We want to be an encouraging church, amen? We want to be like Barnabas in the Bible, in the book of Acts, who was the son of encouragement. We want to speak life and encouragement. You know, when we talk about prophecies, we're going to have a look at that in the scripture. It says that in Corinthians, it says, our prophecy is for encouraging, strengthening, and comforting. Amen? Somebody say encouraging, strengthening, and comforting. We've got to make sure that we are being a prophetic people, encouraging, strengthening, and comforting, building each other up. And then it goes on in verse 12 and says, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. You know, when I first got saved and Rod Clements was my youth leader, I honored him and I listened to him. I trusted what he had to say. I wanted to be like him. He was the nicest guy on the planet. And I just hung around him and I followed him. And he really started me out in ministry well. He set me up for success. And then I had another great pastor who I honored, who I followed and listened to his teaching. Then another pastor. And I believe the Lord called me into ministry to pastor this church because I was faithful to the leaders that God had placed over me. And when you're faithful with little things, God blesses you with greater things. Amen? We've got to make sure that we're faithful and we're honoring the leaders that God has placed over us. It says, they work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Who likes spiritual guidance? Okay, who likes spiritual guidance, even if it's uncomfortable? You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is useful for teaching. That's good, isn't it? We like teaching. Rebuking. Who likes rebuking? I don't mind it. Correcting. Who likes corrected? Being corrected. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the man or woman of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Who wants to be thoroughly equipped? Our focus should be on the Word of God. When we're teaching, we're training, equipping others, we need to always point back to the Word of God. I actually just felt to pause for a moment. That video I played before about Jim Carrey and Bruce Almighty, he was trying to get a word from God. He's trying to get a sign from God, you know. And I find that in churches there can be two extremes. There's people on this extreme that are always expecting a word from God about every single little thing in the morning. They wake up in the morning, God, what shirt should I wear today? Oh, you didn't tell me to wear a shirt. Okay, I'll just go without a shirt on, you know. Oh, God, am I meant to go right or left when I get to this crossroad, you know? You know, sometimes the best spiritual gift God gave us was a brain, you know what I mean? You don't have to ask God about every single little thing in your life. There's some people that are on that extreme. But then there are people on the other extreme that don't ever expect to hear the voice of God, that don't try to discern what God is saying to them. And I believe somewhere in the middle, there is a healthy balance when it comes to hearing the voice of God. This passage here that we're looking at says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test everything and hold on to the good. Amen? So when you get a prophetic word, don't write it off, but don't assume it's correct. Don't always assume a prophetic word is correct. Sometimes you can get a false prophet that's prophesied over you. Sometimes it can be a false teacher that's trying to teach you and lead you astray. Sometimes you can hear what you think is a word from God, but it could be from the devil. It could be from your flesh. It could be from God. But we need to have that gift of discernment, amen? We need to ask God to, and I believe one of the keys, if you hear a prophetic word, if you feel like God is speaking to you, it's got to line up with the word of God, amen? God will not speak to you something that is contrary to his word. So that's why we need to know the word. Another thing I believe is that your leaders will also be in agreement with that word. If you believe you've got a word from God, but the leaders that God has placed over you go, no, I'm not so sure about that, listen to your leaders. Listen to your leaders. I'm telling you, there's been many times in my life when I feel like I've got a word from God and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and then I ask my mentor, I ask someone who's in my oversight, I ask someone who knows me, and they go, actually, Matt, I actually don't think that's what God's called you to do. I don't think that's God. You can respond two ways. You can be like, well, who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? I heard from God, blah, 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 you know. And let me tell you, I see that a lot in Christianity these days. when you go to your leaders, honor them. Honor your leaders. Trust the leaders. That's what it says there. Honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them a little bit of respect, it says. Oh, sorry, did I get that wrong? It says show them great respect. It's gone very quiet here today. Your respect. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Live peacefully with each other. And I'm preaching to myself as well today. I'm not up here as the senior pastor saying, you've got to honor me, you've got to listen to me. That's not my heart today. I'm preaching to myself too because I've got it wrong many times. There's many times where I thought I heard from God and I started going off in the wrong direction, and then I've had some leaders above me go, hang on, Matt, let's talk about this. And thank God for the leaders because they care for me. They know me and they don't want me shooting off in the wrong direction. So who's going to honor their leaders? Who's going to point back to the Word of God when they get revelation? It's always got to line up with God's Word. Goes on, it says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. You know, this week, Carol and I went to a Christian religious instruction fundraising dinner. There's about 2,000 students in Queensland who have weekly RI classes, religious instruction classes in Queensland. But there's all these, you know, Satanists and atheists and all that are trying to stop religious instruction in schools, right? And one of the speakers there, Etienne, our friend, he said, it just baffles me that the Word of God, which says things like this, really good things, you know, they're trying to stop it being taught in schools. They're trying to stop kids from, I mean, look at the youth crime crisis. Look at the violence we're seeing in young people. Look at all the problems we're seeing in young people. Do you think it's maybe because they don't know what God actually believes about their lives? They don't know the truth of God's Word? And, you know, we need God's Word in young people if we're going to see a revival in our nation. That's why we need to hold on. You know, in Victoria, they used to have 200,000 students that were getting religious instruction, and then the evil government got rid of it in their state, and there's now only about 1,000 students that get taught God's Word in the whole state of Victoria because it's either at lunchtime or before or after school because they're trying to push God out of the schools. How many of you know, you take God out of schools, you're in trouble. We need to have Christian religious instruction in schools because how many of you know our generation needs to hear this stuff? Amen? Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil. Always try to do good and with each other and to all people. Imagine if our society started following this stuff. We'd see a change in our nation, wouldn't we? We need to get back to the truth of God's Word. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Don't be thankful for all circumstances, but in all circumstances, for it's God's will for you. Then it says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. How many of you know we want to be a Holy Spirit-led church? We always want to make sure the Holy Spirit is leading us when we worship, when we pray, in the preaching time, in the baptisms, you know, in everything we do, when they have the King's table, when we're out in the shared homes, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We always want to say, God, what are you saying? God, what do you want me to say? God, speak to me and through me. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. We've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Bible says we can quench the Spirit. We can pour water on the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can hurt the Holy Spirit's feelings. We've got to make sure that we are in step with the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit. We're being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, Jesus said. We've got to make sure that we are a Spirit-filled people and we are moving with the Spirit wherever we go. And then it goes on and says, don't scoff at prophecies. Test everything and hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. I love this quote about discipleship from Horatius Bonar. He said, if you are Christians, be consistent. Be Christians out and out. Christians every hour, in every part. Beware of half-hearted discipleship, of compromise with evil, of conformity to the world, of trying to serve two masters, to walk in two ways, the narrow and the broad at once. It will not do. Half-hearted Christianity will only dishonor God while it makes you miserable. In the book of Revelation, there's a warning to the churches that says, do not be lukewarm. But because you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I'd rather you are hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You know, there's nothing worse than getting a coffee and it's like just tepid. It's not hot, it's not cold, it's just like a little bit lukewarm. Who likes a good hot coffee or a good iced coffee? I'd rather either, but I don't want just a lukewarm coffee. You know, God is saying he wants hot Christians, amen? He wants us to be on fire. It's like if you've got one foot on this side of the fence and one foot on that side of the fence, it can be really uncomfortable, can't it, you know? There's a lot of Christians that are half in the world and half in the kingdom. We've got to be all in for the kingdom, amen? I'm preaching myself happy today. We've got to be all in for the kingdom. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is looking for believers that are all in, not half-hearted disciples. We've got to be all in. Jerry Bridges said this, we believers do not need to be challenged to a life of committed discipleship, but that challenge needs to be based on, we believers do need to be challenged to a life of committed discipleship, but that challenge needs to be based on the gospel, not on duty or guilt. Duty or guilt may motivate us for a while, but only a sense of Christ's love for us will motivate us for a lifetime. Who knows they're loved by God? Who knows they're called by God? When you have a change in your identity, when you know you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, you know you're called, you know you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, you know you're blessed, you're too blessed to be stressed, amen? You know that you're loved by God. You want to be a full-on disciple, don't you? I don't want to try and guilt you into it today and bash you over the head and say, you've got to be a good disciple. That's only going to last a short time. I don't want to be like some motivational speaker that's just trying to pump you up to be a disciple for a while. I want you to get your own revelation from God, that God has called you. It's like the young boy that saw you, the young boy that didn't really, you know, have a good hygiene. This young boy, he didn't brush his hair, didn't wear deodorant, didn't have a good attitude. And he walked around all grumpy. And his parents said to him, you got to brush your hair. You got to clean your act up. But he never did. Didn't listen to his parents. And then one day he walked in, hair slicked back, did his eyebrows, you know. He had deodorant on. He was happy. He was confident. You know what happened to this kid? He saw a UFO, an unidentified female object. When this boy saw a girl that he liked, he thought, I'm going to have to get my act together if I'm going to impress this girl. Something on the inside changed, and then it changed the outside. Amen? That's what I want you to get today. I want you to get a revelation today that you are loved by God. You are called by God. He's got a plan for you and a purpose for you. He wants you to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. When you get that revelation, everything's going to change. Amen? You're going to be all in for God, amen? Woo! Someone's excited. Greg Laurie said this, the full concept of discipleship includes sharing our faith, leading people to Christ, and helping them to mature in their faith. But somewhere along the line, the church has separated evangelism from discipleship. Now, I'm all for altar calls. We'll have one every week at New Hope. We'll have it at the King's Table. We'll have it when we go out to the shed. Well, wherever I go, I'm asking people to come to Jesus. But I don't want decisions. I want disciples. Amen? I believe we need to have a connection between evangelism and discipleship. And we need to disciple people to faith. Amen? That's part of our focus. We need to make sure that we are making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Greg Laurie also said, he will not force you to share your faith, but he will prompt you. And when you take that step of faith, he will empower you and use you. And of course, Pastor Greg Laurie is the pastor who's featured in the Jesus Revolution. Who's seen that movie? If you haven't seen it yet, I encourage you to see it. It'll be out on digital soon. It was when the Jesus hippie movement, many people came to Christ in those years in the 60s and 70s in California. And they had discipleship houses where they'd all get together and they'd make disciples. And all these hippies came to know Jesus. And Greg Laurie was interviewed about it, and he said one of the best things about the Jesus movement is that everyone went out and evangelized and made disciples. It was part of the focus of the whole church. And how do you know we need another Jesus revolution in Australia? That's what I'm praying and believing for. Actually, just heard that there's a school at the Gold Coast, 1,500 kids in this Christian school. 500 kids came to know Christ in the last 3 months. Give God the glory for that. Hallelujah. Revival is breaking out in some of our schools right now. I just read Pastor Cole Stringer posted about a prison in Goulburn where they had to shut down the chapel for some reason, but the Christians in there decided it wasn't going to stop them. They started running Bible studies out in the court while people are walking around. People got saved in those Bible studies, and then they went back to their cells and they led their mates to the Lord in those prison cells, and revival's breaking out in a prison in Goulburn. And you know, we need that in Australia. I believe God is stretching out his hand and he's starting these fires of revival around Australia, and they're going to join together and we're going to become the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's great to say I want a move of God, but I'd rather say I am a move of God. That's what the founder of the Salvos said. He said, I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. Let's be the revival wherever we go. Amen. Let's be disciple makers wherever we go. Let's look at this passage in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. This is a famous passage that we've quoted for many years over our... you don't have to stand for this verse. It's all right. For many years, we've had this as a foundation for our church. We have a slogan in our church called Doing Church as a Team, where we believe everyone gets to play. Everyone is called to be activated in their spiritual gifts in this church. And this is one of the key verses, Ephesians 4, 11. So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, and evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip his people. Somebody say equip. To equip his people for works of service. So who's meant to do works of service? I don't know. It's just the elders, isn't it? No, it's just the youth leaders, isn't it? We're all meant to do works of service, amen? You're saved by grace to do good works, amen? You're not saved by good works, are you? You're saved by grace to do good works. You all have been called to a purpose. You've all got works. Ephesians says that God has prepared good works in advance for all of us to do, amen? So my challenge today to asking you is, what is the good works he's called you to do? Yasmin's got her call. She knows what God's called her to do. She's been in the uni for a bit. And then God's opening this door for her to go overseas and do the good works that he's prepared for her to do. And she's going to get good rewards in heaven. And when we get to heaven one day, I'm going to go visit her mansion. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Amen. What are the good works God has called you to do? Where is your harvest field? What are your spiritual gifts? The apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists are equipping the saints to do works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. Somebody say grow. We'll grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and each part does its work. Somebody say, each part does its work. Every one of us is called to do our part. And I love the fivefold ministries that's mentioned there. You've got the apostle who's like the one that gives a thumbs up, and he oversees many churches, and he's a sent one to go and do great things for God. Then you got like the prophet. He's the one that prophesies and leads and says the direction that we should be going in, you know. You got the evangelist, who's the longest one. He reaches out further than the others, you know. You got the pastor, who's like the ring finger. He's the one that loves and cares for the church, and he's the one that's married to the church, the pastor. And then you got the pinky finger, which is the teacher. Now, you know when the British drink their tea, they actually have their finger up like that. I don't know if you know this, but there's some scientific research that when they drink their tea, if their finger isn't up, they'll spill it all over themselves because they haven't got balance. Teachers bring balance to the body of Christ. That's why we need good teaching in the church, amen? All five of those are important for the church. And I thank God for all the preachers and teachers and apostles and pastors and prophets in our church because, you know, we get in guests who sometimes are a part of that fivefold, some of us here in that fivefold, and we're equipping the body to do the work of the ministry, amen? And we need all five functioning to be a healthy church, don't we? That's why we're praying for God to raise up a whole generation of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And we're all called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. I believe we need to receive the teaching that God has given us. We need to be hungry and thirsty to receive what God has spoken to us. So I really want to challenge you to make sure that you are being mentored and discipled. We've recently set up a whole bunch of discipleship groups in the church where Brett has a bunch of people he's mentoring, Rachel has a bunch, Carol has a bunch, Chris has a bunch, that they're all mentoring. And we're raising up a new generation of leaders. And then we're asking those leaders to go and find someone that they can mentor. And it's going to keep flowing like that. I know James has his Kedron Connect. He's mentoring the people in that group. Karen has her group where she mentors her group. You know, every one of us, our dream in this church is for spiritual mothers and fathers to raise up the spiritual sons and daughters. So if you aren't being mentored by someone, if you aren't being trained and equipped by someone, ask someone to mentor you. Find someone that can take you under their wing. I would not be here today if it wasn't for Rod Clements, my youth leader, taking me under his wing and saying, Matt, you're a bit rough around the edges, but you got some potential. I'm going to train you. I'm going to equip you. He was my spiritual father when I was 15, 16 years old. And thank God that he had the patience to deal with a crazy young teenager named Matt Prater, that he trained me and equipped me and set me on the path to where God had called me. You see, leadership isn't just what you achieve, but it's what you set in motion. And that's why we need good leaders above us to set us in motion on the right path. So I want to ask you, are you honoring the leaders that God has placed over you? Are you being discipled? And are you making disciples? We want this culture to flow through the whole church. If you haven't yet joined a Connect group, come and talk to Pastor Chris and one of the leaders. There's lots of Connect groups all around the church where we're wanting people to be in a Connect group where the Connect group leader can disciple them. Maybe there's no Connect group in your area and you need to start one. We're believing for God to set Connect groups all over this city. Some of them will end up being church plants. We've got a vision to plant 3 churches over the next 10 years around this city. And we want to reach this whole city with the gospel, amen? Some of you are called to be church planters. Some of you are called to be evangelists. Some of you are called to go overseas like Yasmin. Whatever you're called to do, I believe part of my job as the senior pastor is to be like the air traffic controller. We want to see the planes come in, get fueled up, get equipped, get trained, and then sent out on their mission. Wherever your harvest field is, we want to see you fueled up, fired up, geared up, trained up, cleaned up, ready to go where you're called to go to bear much fruit. Because who's called to bear much fruit? We're all called to bear much fruit, amen? There was a young guy who was a first-year mathematics student, and he wasn't really that bright, and he had an exam, and he said to the maths professor, I've got this test tomorrow, but I'm not really sure how I'm going to go. Can we take a cheat sheet into the exam? And so what the professor said, he said, all right, whatever you can fit on an A4 sheet of paper, you can bring into the exam. So he told all the students that. So all night they wrote down all their equations and all their sums, all the things they thought they needed for that test. And then the next morning, they're all there with their cheat sheet ready at the exam, except for this one cheeky student that asked the professor. He was sitting there, ready for the test, and standing next to him was a fourth-year mathematics genius, ready to lean down and give him the answers. And the professor said, "What are you doing here? You're not allowed here. You can't have this guy here helping out." And the cheeky student was sitting there and he said, "Well, you said whatever we can fit on an A4 sheet of paper we can bring into the building." And he pointed to the ground and the fourth year student was standing on the A4 sheet of paper, ready to lean down and give the answers. Now, it's a bit of a silly joke, but I'm here to tell you this is what the gospel is about. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have the expert of all experts. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is alive today. He is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And he is wanting to speak to us. He is wanting a relationship with us. He is wanting to guide us. He's wanting to give us the answers that we're struggling with. He wants a relationship. We can speak to him and he can speak to us. We can hear his still small voice. My heart as a pastor is to see you become a disciple who's mentored and trained by an earthly disciple maker, someone who's your leader, who's your teacher, who can equip you and train you. But more importantly, you can be discipled by Jesus himself. He's alive. He is speaking to us. He is guiding us. Are we listening? How does he speak to us? He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through prophetic words. He speaks to us through dreams and visions. There's signs on the side of the road everywhere, wherever we go, where he's speaking to us. Are we listening to our commander in chief? Are we listening to the Lord of all the earth? He wants to give us the answers and guide us in life. And when we get that revelation that he is with us, the Bible says he will never leave us or forsake us. He wants to raise you up to be all that you're called to be. And just like that prophetic word that I gave Bobby and Nadia before, I feel it's for the whole church today as well. Whatever your vision is, it's too small. God's vision for you is way bigger than what you realize. When I was 15 and I came to Christ and I was asked to be a youth leader, I thought there's no way I could do that. They don't know what I'm like. They don't know the thoughts that go through this head. They don't know how hopeless I am. They don't know how wicked I am. There was no way I thought I could do it. But God. But God. And when Rod Clements took me under his wing and said, "Matt, you can be the next youth leader," I thought it was a joke. I thought, am I on candid camera? This is ridiculous. Me? But God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. That's a good word right there. That's a good word, Pastor. Preach it. Sometimes you've got to encourage yourself if you don't get it from anyone else. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Who's called? We'll encourage you to live a life worthy of the call. Have an intimate relationship with the one who died on that old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. He is alive today and he is sending you into your harvest field. Where's your harvest field? Where is your calling? What are your gifts? We want to equip you, train you, and release you to go and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to us today, that you are guiding us, you are leading us, you are sending us, Lord God. We want to live a life that's worthy of the calling you placed in our lives. We don't want to follow some shadow mission and go down the wrong path. We want to learn to discern the voice of God. We want to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We want to be able to be trained and equipped by the leaders you placed over us. Help us to have teachable hearts, to receive instruction, to receive rebuking, correcting, and training from the Word of God. We pray, God, that you will be the potter and we will be the clay, that you will mold us and lead us to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed while we're praying, maybe today you're in a place where you know you're far from God and you want to come to Him today. Maybe you know that you've been rebellious and you've been like Jonah, you've been running away from God. But you want to come to God today and you want to be all in. Maybe you've been half-hearted and lukewarm and you want to say, God, no more. I don't want to be lukewarm anymore. I don't want to be half-hearted anymore. I want to be all in. Today we want to give you an opportunity to respond and come back to God with all of your heart. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus and today you need to surrender to Him. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then we will be saved. If today you want to give your heart to Jesus, if you want to be saved, if you want to have your sins forgiven today, in just a moment we're going to pray a prayer where you can get your heart right with God. Just with every eye closed. If today you want to pray and surrender your heart to God and you want to pray with me, just slip up your hand so I can see it today. Just between you and God. Is there anyone that says, yep, I'm ready. I see that. That's awesome. I see that too. That's great. Who else is there that says, yes, I'm ready to surrender to God. I see that too. That's fantastic. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up real high. I see that too, brother. That is awesome. Who else wants to say, yes, I want to come to God today. I see that as well. That's fantastic. Who else is there that says, yes, I'm ready to come to God today. I'm all in. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, I want you to pray this prayer after me. This is a prayer where you can get your heart right with God. Just repeat this prayer together. Just pray after me. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's give these guys a hand that prayed that today. Let's stand to our feet. And for those that prayed that prayer,